There were many green years before the drillers attacked. Many years in which the domes above were filled with only the most beautiful reflections of the crystals, and all could dance amidst their glory. This is a tale of a great defeat, of a loss of pride for a nation, of tiny underground dwelling beings, one of whom you will inhabit. Yes, ridiculous, sure, but it did happen. It is a true story somewhere in all the universes. And that's all that matters, that I tap in to that meme, that idea, that concept, and drain a little taste of it just for you, like a fine vintage being decanted. Ridiculous, certainly, but that doesn't change how good it is. So, make sure you've got a nice comfortable spot to listen. No interruptions, and you'll find out what it's like to be in the palm of my hand before you know it. Of course, knowing that if at any time during this something should come up, you can stop listening, or adjust your position, or do whatever else is necessary. Good. Now let's get this deep beneath the earth, deep beneath the very beginnings of your mind, deep beneath the great weight of mountains and rocks, and trance itself deep below the surface and substrate, finding yourself plummeting, falling, sinking, slipping, dripping down, 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 like water sublimating up and out from rocks, like water dripping and draining through cave systems, like ideas melting away at soft rock deposits. Deeper and deeper into the earth one goes, deeper and deeper into the story you find that you are lost. Deeper and deeper one can become. It's not a hard thing to do, is it? To get lost underground, to plummet down and down, but don't worry, we won't stop till we reach somewhere. We won't stop till we've gone where we mean to be. No, we will travel further and further and further still. Beneath the surface, beneath the caves that stretch down, beneath the deepest drills, to where the earth is hot, to where the core's radiant heat is thrumming, eternal, the spinning molten magma core of iron, closer than you've ever considered it being, and yet not so close as to be scalding, no, just warm, to an idyllic place ensconced in crystals and life, lichen and moss, mushrooms, and countless different fungi, myconid life. Everything seems so large here, but what seems large to one who dwells in a little dome deep beneath the earth's surface might seem small and cave-like, a grotto filled with life and water to others. The whole world that stretches out between the tiny beings that dwell within, different than any that exists on the surface. The tending of strange creatures, older than man's records. The tending of oddities. Oh, so many ideas and concepts to indulge in, sweet little traveler. But you shall stand against the invaders who have come to breach this place, their drills cracking open the sky, their great machines plummeting down into the idyllic forests below, splitting apart mushroom stalks, sending flowers, and, well, the herds running. Chaos ensued in the days that followed, the great machines that came and crushed and swallowed and destroyed all that was in their path. And yet they only wanted one thing. They didn't want to stop. They didn't want to speak. They came for the crystals, and they broke them down and took them with. And with each crystal that was shattered, a little light was extinguished. It got darker as the night grew. Crystals that had grown for a million years, crystals that had stood the test of time, crystals that had lightened countless generations, broken and taken by monsters. And then, nothing. Great machines left behind. Great machines whose treads had churned up whole villages without even noticing the tiny beings underneath, digging great boreholes right through civilizations older than man without care for what was there before. But then came someone else. Then came something else. Creatures smaller than the machines, but taller than any beings you had ever seen before. Standing 10 times as tall as any who dwelled in the caverns beneath. An explorer, picking through the ruins of a destroyed civilization, the remnants of an abandoned mine. She came, a beautiful goddess, one that you stood to fight, clearly another omen of the darkness that had come upon your land, clearly another machination of the great mechanical beasts, in a new form that could squeeze into the smaller caverns. Surely she is but an omen of that which has come to destroy you, of that which has come to take what little you have to live upon. And yet she was beautiful, wearing an armored suit made from thick rubbery plastic, with a mask over her face, lights that framed it, showing the beautiful hair that escaped from underneath the cap that tried to hold it back. Gorgeous chestnut locks. Her smile as she noticed things, starting at the fringes, exploring from one of the old boreholes, rappelling down, examining with her microscopic tools, in her hands, holding up the first signs of what was once there. Oh, how beautiful she was when you observed her from afar, as you made your plan of attack. As you readied yourself, as you gathered your supporters, and you prepared, but what you could not have expected was the gas, was the smoke, or the things that she employed when you attacked, catapulted rocks bouncing harmlessly from her suit, spikes, cannonballs, nothing worked. All of it deflected by the thick material. Everything you ever tried was not enough. She didn't destroy your machines, no. She marveled at them, watched as you attempted to destroy her, giggled at your curses, your screams, uncertain of what you were even saying, your language beyond her. But she listened nonetheless, stood there as you ranted and raved. As you fell to your knees and pleaded for your whole society. Her hand, large enough to hold you easily, large enough even to lay down upon, just barely, as she scooped you up in those strong fingers, those fingers that felt like they could crush you an instant, yet so tender, so delicate, as she lifted you up and gently deposited you into a sample container. You squirmed, you wriggled, you screamed about the indignity, you hammered upon the transparent container, and yet she did not seem miffed by it as she carefully picked her way away from the battlefield, careful not to tread upon a single tree, and yet clearly evil in her own right. Even as she rappelled up through the great borehole to the unknown places above, even as She rode in the elevator. She examined you, carefully reaching in with silicone-coated forceps to pull at your limbs, carefully touching and poking and prodding, examining you. Like a doll, like a tiny thing, so helpless inside, and listening so closely to the curses and utterances you made as she carefully stripped away the clothes that remained tattered on your frame after months of fighting. Most you'd ever managed was to stop a single dozer with a cave-in, one of the great machines caught between rocks, its crew forced to abandon it, and she defeating an entire army without even trying. You fall into despair. You plummet to your rump and cry. Sometime later, you find yourself in a great room, expansive like any cave could ever be, with furniture that could house an entire plantation, an entire farm, a forest, a park. Everything is so large, and beyond a window spans an endless concrete abomination of inverted stalagmites, lights glowing from everyone, unusual shapes, rectilinear, like concrete pillars poured from the earth themselves to stretch up towards an infinite emptiness above, filled with vaporous clouds and a darkness, unlike the caves, for it is pierced by little points of light. She places you carefully into a larger chamber. Reaching in now to pin you in place, she pulls out clothing to dress you in, a simple and plain outfit. And then more are deposited next to you, a sleeping mat, a bed, a full set of doll-sized furniture. And then she's gone. Food deposited. Food unlike anything you've ever tasted before. Strange flavors, strange things. Such power. And yet, when she returns in the morning, you can't help but cower, returning again as she scoops you up to examine you with bare hands now, feeling the soft tenderness of her fingers, yet so impervious, even as you try to kick and bite, even as she pulls you into her hand, lifts you up to examine you up close to her own eyes, bringing a jeweler's spectacle down, as she pokes and prods, gently touching your hair and your ears, her fingers feeling like unstoppable forces, as she carefully strips the clothes from you and begins to dress you in something else, like a doll. The more you resist, the more she overpowers, gentle but firm, her words making no sense, her words hushing and shushing until eventually you give in. You go limp as she dresses you in clothes that you would never wear, carefully placing accessories that somehow fit you with forceps upon, finding yourself wearing dainty shoes and tights and a dress like nothing you would have worn before, amused by your pointed ears, enjoying your delicate features. She grins as she places you onto her desk. You scamper to the edge to look for a place to leap to, somewhere to escape, but the drop would surely kill you in an instant. You stop, you stumble, you fall backwards, and run towards the center of the desk, afraid that she might brush you accidentally, absent-mindedly off to plummet to your doom. But instead, you just find her hair, finger, ruffling your hair back and forth. You look up at her again as she gestures at a pen nearly the size of you, and you grab it, thinking to use it as a weapon to spar her, but instead, as you pull the cap off roughly to expose the large fountain pen's tip, as if to spar her, when instead her strong fingers reach out and grip and grasp and pull the pen easily from you, as she gently ruffles your hair again and uses it to begin signing documents. You realize just how utterly helpless you've become. A simple thing to be used for her amusement. A simple thing indeed. So when she offers you a meal again, in a couple of hours after sulking and then beginning to watch the strange things she does out of curiosity upon the great screen-like thing that stretches above, the mechanical device upon which she seems to drum with her fingers for hours at a time, you accept the strange cloying drink that she offers, even though it is stronger than anything you've ever tasted, even though your mind feels strange afterwards, even as you go limp and she carefully places you onto a stand on her desk, you feel a strange contentedness wash over you as you sit still and empty on the stand. Whatever was in that drink, leaving your mind blank and empty and pliable. As she works, you feel a sense of contentedness rolling in, enforced by the strange chemicals that seem to have stripped away whatever thoughts were left as you sit there on display. Later, you're again scooped up, and this time placed to nestle between the giant's cleavage, sandwiched in between warm flesh, breasts larger than you could have ever imagined, ensconcing you, holding you, pinning you in place, helplessly amidst her grip. Drifting mindlessly, eventually waking only to be placed back into your little terrarium. More furniture has joined it, more clothes, more furnishing, walls. It's truly beginning to look like a house, except that it's missing several of its walls, replaced, of course, with glass for her to look in upon you. No matter what you do, there's no hiding from those beautiful eyes, that grin, and you somehow find yourself looking forward to the next time she offers you a chance to stand on her desk. It's almost as if something had shifted in that brief while, but you can't put your finger upon it. You drift, you fall, you plummet, you sink back, down, down into that sleepy, blank place. And even so, the world falls away. Into the dreamscape once more we go, knowing that we need only take the memories of this strange tale with us, that we need only those things. Of course remembering, of course knowing, that this was something we indulged in, something we enjoyed together, that this isn't something you have to be at all. Let that become a dream once more as that dreamscape blossoms out. Let that dream flow forth, and before you know it, we'll be back in the world of the waking. One, drifting up. Two, more and more. Three, and four, and five, and six, and seven, and eight, nine, ten. Wide awake, hopefully feeling wonderful and refreshed. Thank you so very much for listening to this strange little tale about a tarling, sweet thing, plucked from their world by an evil corporate executive, who likes to masquerade as a biologist.